It's hard to explain what bombing feels like. And it's still, I still bomb this day. I know big comics still bomb. Probably not as much as I do, but I had a big bomb about 5 months ago. Like, so bad that my good friends were there. They were like, that's the worst that I've ever seen you do. And I'm like, yeah, I fucking know.
I felt it. Yeah, I was on stage
getting no laughs. I know.
Hey everyone, I'm Devin Werkheiser.
And I'm Steph Tolev.
And today Steph is gonna teach me how to become a stand-up. Sweet. Hey, dude.
Hey, what's up, bro?
We're on a podcast. Before we get into you teaching me some things, I just want to say, so you like started popping up, I don't know, on my algorithm. You started popping up on my IG.
Okay.
Like a couple years ago.
Really?
Yeah. And I was dying laughing from your clips. So I would just watch your clips all the time and laugh. And then I saw you pop up on Bill Burr's Friends Netflix special.
Yep.
Wearing like your version of a Eddie Murphy raw leather.
I had a leather dress on. Yeah.
You went
melting
real...
underneath. I'm soaked.
I believe that.
Absolutely soaked. Yeah.
You decided to wear thick leather on stage. Bold choice.
Yes.
But you crushed that, and it made me really happy because, like I said, I kind of just discovered you on the social media, and then to see you on that, I was like, oh, she's on. You're set.
Well, thank you. It's really rare. Are you a straight man?
I am a straight man.
It's rare a good-looking straight man says these things about me. It's usually the opposite. I have like, you are exactly what my trolls look like.
Wow.
Like literally to a T. If I could have a police sketch artist right now do my troll, you would be the exact drawing that would come out. Literally with the Tims and everything. It's literally exactly.
No.
Yes.
What are the trolls?
Oh, the trolls are out of control. It's nuts. Like every day. Someone yesterday got pissed, like just another fat female comedian. I'm like, okay, you can say I'm unfunny, but I'm really working on my weight here. I don't think I'm fat. I'm not saying I'm thin. But I'm not going to use the F word around here. Like, what the fuck are we doing?
Oh, yeah. The internet is a cruel place.
But I'm glad it worked for you. So
it
this
worked
is nice.
For me. No,
okay, this is
I became a fan instantly
good.
Because you bring an energy to the stage that I don't get to see a lot.
Yeah, I don't know what that kind of started years ago. And I don't even know what it is. Like, it's like a jolt that happens right before I go on. And it's exhausting.
I'm sure it is.
Because it's not like I'm trying to do it. Like, I literally just am like that when I'm up there. But
yeah, it's habitual.
I get off stage and I'm like, And I'm like, I get off stage and I'm like, why couldn't I just be a comic that sits on the stool? I don't know. I've made a huge mistake. My back is bad. I have the traveling too. My back is fucked. I have to stretch before going on stage.
Yeah. No, your brand of comedy is real physical.
It's real physical.
A lot of voice.
Yeah.
A lot of voice.
I can't believe
energy.
I have a voice or... limbs at this point.
Yeah. No, I can't believe you're able to talk like after you like just did shows.
Too, I was right? just in Milwaukee. Yeah. 2 days ago and I'm heading to Pittsburgh. It never ends. Yeah. The road's a lot. Fun, but.
Congrats. I mean, it feels like things are going well now. Yes?
Yes. Yes, they are. I'm very happy.
Other than the handsome fuckboy trolls.
Yes. Okay.
Fuck them.
Wow, you're really putting the handsome in there yourself. But that's fine. It's on you. But it is going well. I'm not complaining. I hate when people think that I'm like complaining about doing road work, but like the road is fucking tiring.
Yeah.
And no one realizes like the traveling.
Yeah.
The hotel beds. You're like, it seems like it's a fun thing. And then you're missing your dog. I'm missing my boyfriend. Like there's a lot of stuff that comes into it. And just, you don't feel like you're in different time zones all the time. I'm not getting proper rest.
Yeah.
I'm not really sleeping fully. And it's like, you know, you're doing similar jokes over and over. And I'm like, I've put a lot of pressure on myself now to do a lot of crowd work.
Yep.
And now my crowd thinks that that's what they're coming for. So I have to do minimum 20 to 30 crowd work. Cause like I'm having people come see me multiple times a year, which is crazy. And these fans are fucking nuts. I was in Chicago for New Year's and then New Year's Eve, I had a couple there and then they were at my Thursday show, front row in Milwaukee. And I was like, you just saw me. I don't have a new hour in fucking 4 days. Like, I don't know what to tell you. You're going to see similar jokes. And they were still laughing because I guess, you know, when you're a fan, that's what, it's weird as a comic because we all feel like, you know, we're doing the same jokes and it's like repetitive, but I'm like, you see, like my favorite band, Death From Above, 1979, who I've seen 18 times now, they have been doing the same songs since I started liking them and I want those songs.
Yeah.
It just, I guess as a comic, you feel like it's not the same thing.
It does feel different for comedy, but I get if you're like a super fan, it's not.
Yeah.
But it does feel, because like part of laughing at a joke is that it's new. You've never heard it before. So it does feel weird to like see the same joke over and over again.
Yeah. And like I had one joke, this one joke that I try not to post my jokes on my Instagram. And this one joke I posted about this guy named Joel, this guy on Hinge who told me that he killed his dog on the right at the beginning of our first conversation. And now I start doing the joke and people goes, yes, the Joel joke. And I'm like, oh no. God, like it feels crazy.
No.
It's a good joke though. Go watch it on my Instagram. It's a good bit. Joel's a psychopath. Yeah. Joel's not well.
It does seem weird like yelling out like, yeah, do this one.
Yeah, it's
that's
wild.
Gotta be awful for you. You're like, wait, you already.
And then I'm like, am I a hack? Like, you know what the punchline is. You know, I tried changing up the wording just so I have more fun with it too.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Maybe to throw them off a little bit, but I guess no. They want to see it.
Yeah, that's just the weird day and age we live in with everyone sees your shit and they just want
much.
It repeated. Give me the dopamine, Steph.
Yeah, and it's weird it's because you're so out there. Like my trolls who hate me can stalk me. They can find me. I'm very easy to find.
Yeah.
Which is terrifying.
Yeah, stephtolev.com.
Yeah.
Was stand-up always the dream?
No. When I first started, I wanted to be an actress, a comedic actress.
Okay.
Like my goal was like SNL or to be in like a funny movie.
Fuck yeah.
But then when I, in Toronto where I started, I auditioned for like 4 universities for acting and I didn't get into any of them.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, I'm dog shit. Okay. And then there was this one comedy program and I got into that. It's like comedy writing and performance. So I did that for 2 years and then that kind of snowballed. Then I was doing more sketch and improv.
Yep.
And then that pays $0. So I got more into stand-up because people were like really telling me I should do stand-up.
So you were making $0.
Yeah, you don't make any money doing
improv?
Sketch. Yeah.
So you went into stand-up for money?
A bit more money because you'd at least get beer tickets. You'd at least get like a free hot dog or a slice of pizza or something. And sketch, you're like in a group. So they're like, we can't
there's
give
nothing.
You anything.
Yeah,
sorry. So an improv, there's $0. If you're just starting out, it's like, yeah.
Yeah. And then did you fall in love with stand-up? Is that why you kept doing it?
Yeah. I realized that there's some things I think you do in life where you're like, oh, this is meant to be. And I think the way my life has been and especially the situations that I find myself in, like all my stand-ups, like genuinely, I'd say it's 95% real things that have happened to me.
Fuck yeah.
Like I don't really make up things and people are like, that didn't fucking happen. Like I just posted a joke, this old joke of how I ate a 2-year-old gingerbread house over the holidays.
I saw that.
And I did. I ate the whole thing and I was so sick for days. And then people are like, liar, this never happened. I'm like, ask my whole family. I was wildly ill. I ate a fucking 2-year-old.
You ate glue.
I ate actual adhesive and swallowed it whole. So I'm like, I why would I make that up?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's really bizarre.
Well, because part of stand-up sometimes is like you make up a story because it's a funny story.
Yes.
I was actually wondering, I figured most of your jokes are about real situations because they just are. You're like talking about online dating. And
Yeah.
Like, oh, that happened. I was wondering about the gingerbread. I was wondering.
That was real. Ate the whole thing. Yeah, very disgusting.
It's even funnier now and even more sad.
Yeah, oh, way more sad and disgusting. Like it was
gross. Really
gross. Oh
yeah.
It tasted like nothing too. I don't know why I kept eating it.
Hilarious.
Yeah. I've like, there's like another story of me, like I dropped a piece of pizza downtown Toronto. And I ate the whole thing. People didn't believe that. The Joel thing, I had to show people, like I have the conversation verbatim in my phone. Like I didn't write any of that. That was all like real.
You gotta stop worrying about these fucking trolls, man.
I got it. That's my New Year's resolution to not read the comments.
Yeah, you gotta stop because if you have trolls, it means you're actually like succeeding, to be honest.
Yes. Yeah.
There was years that, so I've been acting since I was a kid. There was years where I like really didn't have many trolls, but that's because I wasn't out there enough to have trolls.
So you have trolls?
I got some trolls. I got
really?
Some
really?
Yeah. So my big claim to fame, which is still relevant to the people who know my show now, but like was a show I did 20 years ago when I was a kid on Nickelodeon. It was called Ned's Declassified School Survival Guide.
Oh,
20 years ago.
Sorry, I'm Canadian. I don't know what this is. Is that offensive that I have no idea?
No,
should
no,
I
no.
recognize you? Now
no,
I feel
no,
bad.
No, you shouldn't. And
okay,
you're good. Okay. No, it's like a generational thing. Like, you know, like if you had moved on to MTV when I was on.
You seem younger than me too. How old are you?
32.
Yeah. I would never watch
that's
this.
It.
I'm not a pervert.
Yeah. It'd be weird if you did know my show.
Yeah.
But so because my most famous thing is so long ago, like, yeah, I got trolls who were like.
From back in the day? That's so funny.
I got trolls who were like. Yeah, you know, you were only relevant 20 years ago.
That's
and I'm like,
so funny.
You don't think I tell myself that in the dark of night? I understand, trolls.
You don't think I rewatch this over and over and say, why can't I be like Ned anymore?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I have trolls more so now because I'm out there more with my podcast. And it just lets me know I'm doing something right.
Okay, that's good. That's
so you, you want to have that, flip. Yeah. Like, hell yeah, you got trolls. Because you also have people who are like obsessed with you.
That's the thing. I shouldn't have both. I shouldn't be mad because I do have like some very, very nice fans.
Yeah, don't feed the trolls.
No, no, no.
This episode is brought to you by Rocket Money. Look, Steph and I, we know what it's like to have no money because we've pursued the arts. And a lot of that is about having no money. But just because you feel like you have no money doesn't mean you have to be dumb with your money, right? Get smarter about your money. Learn from my mistakes, guys. I was dumb with my money. And up until yesterday, I thought I could organize my finances just by a running log in my head. But guess what? My head is useless and filled with other things like cat memes. So I forget things like subscriptions that I signed up for and forgot to cancel and have been charging me $20 a month for the last year. Who couldn't use an extra couple hundred dollars? Rocket Money makes it easy to find and cancel your subscriptions. It makes it easy to see what you are spending so that you can save more. It helps lower your bills and just overall change your financial game, okay? I have loved them becoming a sponsor because literally I was not organizing my money before Rocket Money. And I imagine some of you are like me. Here's the thing, guys. We are gonna live a long life, hopefully. And in that life, we will need money. So saving and being smart with our money and not just wasting money on subscriptions we forgot about is gonna be a part of living a long and thriving life, you know? So head over to rocketmoney.com/growingup to grow up your finances. Quit being dumb like I was. And let's all have a prosperous and abundant 2024. So a lot of people want to be stand-ups. A lot. A whole lot.
Here's what I would say. Too many. Too many people want to do stand-up. And I don't know why. It is so hard for so long and so few people make it through that next echelon where they can make it their full-time job.
Yeah.
So few.
Yeah.
And the amount of years and time you put in sometimes doesn't feel worth it.
So I do love stand-up, okay? Okay. I don't.
Have you tried it?
I have not. Because, really? Because I love stand-up. I love your community. Like I love the podcast. I love the art form. I respect it so much. I am so afraid of it.
Okay.
Because I know what you have to kind of, what I assume you have to put in to get good.
Yes. I'm alarmed like your manager or agent hasn't told you at some point to do it. Because usually like a classic thing in LA.
That seems crazy.
Oh, I was literally on a hike when I first moved here, going up Runyon Canyon. And this girl who picks up her phone, she's like, hello? Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, well, this is it. And hangs up and she's like, that was my manager. I have to try stand-up comedy on Tuesday. And I was like, this is the problem.
That's crazy.
That's the problem.
No, that's crazy.
That's crazy.
This is a fucking art form. This is a craft.
Like, I don't know why they think,
to get good. Why do they think?
And then you would go up and bomb and be upset. Yeah, yeah.
No. But I know a lot of people have interest, right? And maybe they're too afraid. So if you can teach me how to begin, like how do I get started? How do I get into stand-up, Steph? Let's count down your top five tips.
My top five. Let's see what top five is. Okay, nonstop practice.
Okay.
So you have to literally start writing like now. Some people I'm assuming are, when you think of a funny joke, like you have a note thing in your phone, you need to do, I would say when you first start, minimum 5 open mics a week.
Damn.
And that's not you just going to open mic and getting on. That's you signing up in a bucket, probably not getting your name picked for the first 3-4 weeks because no one knows who you are.
Got it.
Have to go to every single show, introduce yourself. Like when I first moved back out here, when I first moved to LA 8 years ago, I was like, I had to start fresh again.
Yep.
I had no car. I had a bicycle. I would bike to the Comedy Store, put my name in the list, didn't get on. I'd bike to the Improv, wait all night on a Sunday night, put my name in the list, wouldn't get on. Would bike home, bawl my eyes out. Next morning, Monday, every day I would check. There's like a bunch of websites to check and see where the open mics are.
Yeah.
I would check and I would go to at least 2 or 3 to try to do 3 to 5 minutes. A lot of shows out here are bringer shows, so you have to bring friends, otherwise you can't get on.
Yep.
But you have to, you're not going to get, like, I took the program in Humber, that's nothing. You cannot get good at stand-up unless you're constantly doing it. You can't find your voice, you can't find the rhythm, you can't find your cadence, you can't get comfortable on stage. You have to do it as much as fucking possible. Like, I'm talking, I still, to this day, I do, what, a weekend I do what, 5 to 6 shows an hour. And then when I come into the city, I do shows usually two Tuesday, two Wednesday. So a week, I'm doing minimum seven shows a week still to this day. And it's like, you can't, I went 2 weeks without doing it and I felt fucking fuzzy.
Yeah.
Which is nuts because I've been doing it for 20 fucking years. That's crazy. That's nuts. So yeah, it's really nonstop.
I love that because I think a lot of us fool ourselves at what it takes to get really good at something.
Yes. And like, because like really. You have to try out different jokes and like finding your voice is a really big thing in stand-up. Like it took me probably 7 years to do that because I was already comfortable on stage. I used to Highland dance, side bizarre note.
Highland dance?
Scottish dancing with the kilts and the bagpipes. I'm not Scottish, I'm Bulgarian, it makes no sense. But I Highland dance, so I was used to being on stage with people and like performing.
That's such a crazy
It's so bizarre.
That's such a crazy
No, I'm not even gonna get into it, it's so insane. It was half my life.
I'm not even gonna touch that.
I was so bad, it doesn't matter. But I was used to like performing.
Okay.
But when I started doing stand-up, it's a whole different level of performance and like, reading the crowd and like, and I will say now, crowd work comes from practice because I've had a lot of comics DM me being like, "How do you get good at crowd work?" I'm like, being severely comfortable on stage,
right,
and knowing who you are, and just you can't just get up and start doing crowd work. Like,
fuck no,
start doing jokes, write a solid 5,
and
start doing that as much as possible, and just keep writing. Like, I had notebook after notebook. Like, looking back now, they were all dog shit. Like, horrendous jokes. But, like, you just have to have... I like, some people do it on their phone. I prefer writing it in, like, a small notebook just so I can see it, like, written out more. But just
you don't
any
have, you
idea.
You don't have chicken scratch handwriting?
Oh, yeah. I can't read half it.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah.
And I would have, like, a little... Like, when I first started, too, I'd wake up out of, like, cold sweats, be like, this is funny. I should write it down. And then you don't write it down. Anytime you think you should write something down, write it down.
Yep. Because it's
wake
gone.
Yourself up in the middle of the night, write it down on your phone, something, because it'll be gone.
Does that still happen? Like, in terms of, like... Do you wake up with jokes?
I know. It's also those have never been good jokes. It's just like a thought I had in my head. But I thought of a funny sketch yesterday for me and my boyfriend and I fucking forgot it and I'm pissed now because I was like in the middle of doing something and I was like, just stop and do it and I didn't write it down and now it's gone.
I have that same shit with, like, I make music too and I act and if an idea is there, it's a fleeting thing.
Yes. Just
if you don't catch it right then, I'm gonna forget it in about 12 seconds.
Yeah, no, it's gone. Like, and it could be something good.
It could be great.
I mean, it could be bad.
Yeah.
It could be nothing, but it's like always write everything down. Yeah, I know that term's like practice makes perfect, but it's like practice is like the main, I would say, like an essential part of stand-up comedy.
And then something that you've said a million times and refined and thought about, then having to make it sound natural.
Yes.
Make it sound like it's the first time you're telling the story.
Yeah, because that's the hardest part about doing the same, like, I've been doing the same hour for like a year now. Like, a similar version, I add in stuff and take stuff out, but I'm like, there's like a core 10 jokes I've been doing, and I'm like, it's hard to make it sound like I still love these jokes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really, that's a challenge in itself, but that's also from practicing and like—
Are you working up to a special?
Yeah, I'm trying to, I sent off my hour today to— A network, so we'll see.
Let's go, Steph.
Yeah, we will see.
I'll be there trolling and supporting.
Yeah, I want all my trolls in the front row.
All right, give me your top 4 tip for getting into stand-up.
Tip, what is it? No money. $0.
Sad face.
$0. You will not be making good money.
Great.
You will need to be doing a side job.
Great.
So I had worked when I was in Toronto when I started. I was a waitress for 15 years at the same time.
Yep.
That's a very good job to do. It's hard to do a 9-to-5 because you're exhausted at the end of the night. You don't want to go do fucking open mics. But this was like I'd work like 3-4 days a week, maybe day shift. And then, do this. You need to have some money put aside. Or have rich parents, which I did not have.
Yeah.
Get a job that you aren't completely mentally, like if you're trying to be a lawyer and a stand-up comic at the same time, you're probably gonna be fucked.
Yeah.
But if you're just like, 10 more chicken wings, then you can probably go on stage at night and that's what I was doing. And still, you know, have some kind of semblance of a personality up there.
For sure.
But it's like, it's really, like And even when you start, like, the festivals, the newer ones, you're paying to go. Like,
oh,
if you
no
get,
shit.
Yeah, you have to pay to apply. You have to pay to fly yourself out there. Yep. You pay for your own lodging. In Canada, there's these Canadian Comedy Awards that you needed to get a green card that you would have to pay to nominate yourself for. So that was fun. And then there's a big festival in Canada where I would have to pay for my set after it was recorded. That was on television. I had to pay $50 to receive my own tape. So yeah, there's a lot of you making so no fucking money.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then getting paid in beer.
Yeah.
Like still, I'm finally, the past 2 years I've been at a point where I'm like, out of principle now, I'm like, if you're a bigger comedian, you should be getting paid. Like you should be paying your comics to do a show.
Yeah.
Like, I started running a show here, me and my good friend Daniel Webb, we don't do it anymore, but it was called Hags. We would be in the hole every week because we would pay the comics out of our own pocket. And people are like, come do my show in Santa Monica. It's a free drink. I'm like, no, you pay me $20.
Yeah.
Because that's how it works.
Right.
You need some initiative.
Pay me something.
Yeah. Like, show me that respect. Yeah, that kind of respect. If you want to run a show, you have to like show your comics some sort of respect. Especially if you want good comics.
Yeah.
Like, sorry, we were in the hole every time. I'd open the bar tab. I'd be like, here's $25 for doing the show. Have as many drinks as you want. Sorry, we'd leave in the hole. That's just how it is.
Yep.
So yeah, you had to be prepared to either maybe make no money at all because you might not make it,
or
just make no money for a very long time.
How long until you could actually pay for your life with your comedy?
By the end of me being in Toronto, by the 15 year mark, I think I had just quit. No, by the 12 year mark, I think I had just quit my one serving job, and I was just doing this. But then when I moved back out to LA, my green card didn't go through, so I was working under the table. So I was working a catering job, a nannying job, and I was cleaning Airbnbs.
Fuck.
Yeah. And those were all hell.
Fuck.
Hell on earth. While I was still doing the open mics out here and like driving around and like
biking around.
Fuck. Yeah. And then I bought my friend's car. And then, yeah, it was a lot.
That's a grind.
It's a grind.
Man.
It's a fucking grind.
Yeah. You earn your place
you
in it.
You earn your fucking place.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Damn.
If you're good and if you're funny and if you, you really. Yeah, but you have to be prepared to be paid in literally beer tickets for a very long time.
Jesus. Give me your third tip.
Third tip.
Top three.
Big drum roll. Be ready to fail.
Yeah.
I don't think, it's hard to explain what bombing feels like. And it's still, I still bomb this day. I know big comics still bomb. Probably not as much as I do, but yeah, I've had some pretty, I had a big bomb about 5 months ago. Biggest bomb I've had in, like, so bad that my good friends were there. They were like, that's the worst set I've ever seen you do. And I'm like, yeah, I fucking know.
I felt it. Yeah, I was on stage
getting no laughs. I know.
Fuck.
So you were going to fail more than you're going to succeed. Like, you're going to bomb. Your first, like, my first set ever, I did okay because I think I was a bringer show in Toronto and I brought a bunch of friends, even though it made no sense, but I was getting laughs just because my friends were there.
Sure.
And then the first time I started doing shows where no friends were there, I was like, I'm trash. This isn't good.
Fuck.
So, and the feeling of bombing is like, it's beyond mortifying.
Yeah.
Especially when it's like a big, like all of my big bombs are, they sit with me. Yeah. Like some comics, I don't know how, they like don't do well. And they're like, that was a good set. I'm like, I bombed at the Comedy Store like a month and a half ago and I cried the whole drive home. And this was literally recently.
20 years into the industry.
Yeah, 20 years into the industry. Yeah. I'll still eat shit here and there and be like, what did I do wrong? Like, I immediately am like, I came on too strong. I said some weird shit. Like, I go through everything in my head. But this is one of my biggest tips. You need to really be present and like record yourself, I would say, a lot if you want to see. But like, I'm at a standard now where like, if I don't kill, I bomb.
Right.
So if I don't leave being like somebody high five me or I got an applause break at some point in my set or like people are losing their fucking minds. If I don't see everyone dying, laughing, like wiping tears, I am trash and I shouldn't be doing this. So I'm so hard on myself.
That's because you've raised your fucking standard. But I get it. I told you, I found your clips and I was like belly laughing off these little 40-second clips, like fucking laughing. So I get you've now you're used to that.
Yes.
You can't
but
go
I'm
back
like,
to chuckles now.
No. But I'm like, it's also, you need to have that kind of level of harden on yourself. Otherwise, you're just going to float around and nothing's going to change. And you're not going to learn. You're not going to get better.
No, I agree. I made a short film in the last couple of years. My first time like doing that. And like, I know what I learned from it. I know what works. I know what doesn't from it. So like, I learned a lot from it and I showed it to like a friend and she's like, yeah, but like everyone, like I was like, here's what doesn't work. Here's what works. And I was like, I just want to be better. And she's like, everyone's first short isn't supposed to be good. Like you just have high standards. And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
Cause I want to do this. Like, yes. Fuck yeah, I have high standards.
As you should.
Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, yes. Why would you want to put shit out there?
That's why I'm like, yeah, dude, because I'm going to do this.
Because people are lazy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or like, or just soft, or just like, look, like participation, you know? Yes. Like, yeah, but no, but you did it, so look. I'm like, no, I need it to be fucking great.
Yes, and it's good that you have friends that are honest. Like, I'm thank God I had like my sister who's super supportive, my good friends, they'd be like, that's bad.
That wasn't funny. Sucks.
Or yeah. Like they'll be like, that set wasn't good. Yeah. I'll be like, okay, that joke's not good. I don't know why you're still doing that joke. Okay. Like having those friends that are super blunt with you.
Yeah.
Comics too would be like, yeah, I'd cut that. I wouldn't do that. I'm like, yeah, good.
I wonder how Joe Coy is gonna be holding that bombing on the Golden Globes. That's gotta hurt.
I didn't watch it, but I won't watch it.
Yeah.
I was pissed that Ricky won the award.
Yeah.
Well, I saw a small clip from that set and I was like, that's what won?
Yeah.
Like, you're going to have our first stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
Like, it's just alarming that, like, you know, Segura or like fucking Nate Bargatze wasn't even nominated.
Yeah, but
or,
you
like,
know.
People who are touring right now fucking annihilating.
I know, but that's coming, like, that's the Hollywood Foreign Press Association. That's not like the craftspeople. It's not the comedians award. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. But
that would be a different show.
Also, Ricky Gervais, do you not have someone who's dressing you in these specials? He's wearing like a t-shirt he just found in a corner, in a wet corner. He has two full tits hanging. I'm like, I'm not trolling you, Ricky, but like I wear Spanx every day. I'm wearing Spanx right now. I know I have a gut. I have it sucked in. The men are out there flopping around.
Yeah.
What's going on out here? Where are man Spanx? I don't tell you. I'm getting trolled for my gut and my nose and I can't do anything about that, but you can get a looser shirt. It looks like a slob. I don't tell you.
I'm sorry. Misogyny is alive and
no, it's a nightmare.
Ricky Gervais is never going to see this.
And if he does, you should have got a size up shirt.
But misogyny.
And maybe ironed it. I don't know.
Misogyny is live and well on the internet. Men can look.
Women aren't funny. You knew that.
Yeah, no.
Women aren't funny.
You're not,
that's it.
I'm not a real comedian.
No,
you're a woman comedian.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a woman comedian. I'm not funny, and none of us are. Yeah.
Yeah, no.
That's
rough out
there. That's it.
I love hearing this about bombs. This is why I won't go into stand-up. No, there's a million reasons. It's because I am committed to other fucking crafts in my life and I know the commitment I'd need. But the bombing.
I'm trying to figure out exactly how to like, it's worse than like if you're, I'm trying to compare it to like, the worst thing I could compare it to, I had a really bad date once.
Yeah.
And I hooked up with this guy three times or tried to and he couldn't get hard. And then the third time I was in bed naked and he looked me up and down and said, I'm just not physically attracted to you. That's what I would kind of say bombing is like.
Oh my God.
That feeling, but like hundreds of people looking at you going, you're fat ugly pig at the exact same time. Like that's exactly what it's like. It's so, especially when it's like jokes that you've done and you know have worked, you're like, what the fuck? Am I crazy?
Yeah.
What did I do wrong this time? How did I do this? How did I get down here? And then sweating and then I'll panic and I'll go, well, that normally gets you laugh. And I'm like, well, that's not funny.
Yeah,
people
don't
like that. That's even more unlikable for me to say that kind of shit. So it just
normally kills. You guys are wrong. Yeah, you were wrong.
It's like, no, I'm wrong. I fucked up. I did something very wrong.
Yeah. The thought of, that's why I love stand-up so much is, it's just you.
It's just you.
Yeah. If a movie I do doesn't do well, there's a lot of people involved in that, right?
It's not on you.
It's not just on, it's a collective process, but it's literally just you and a room that's either active and enjoying and everyone's having a good time or it's quiet because of you.
Yeah. And it's when it is raw. When comics that I respect are there.
Oh, that's
gotta. When I come off and I go, I'm sorry you had to see that. Like Anthony Jeselnik saw me bomb so bad and I was so embarrassed because it's the first time he'd ever seen me.
No.
And I got off and then he went on and he went, that right there is a woman having a mental breakdown. But then he went up after me and I went to the store and then he came to the store after and we were both in the main room and I'm like, I'm really embarrassed you saw that. He goes, oh, I bombed just as bad as you after that crowd was fucked. And I was like, thank God. Because I was like, I was so mortified at someone who I respect so much seeing me eat shit. I'm like, that's pathetic.
Yeah. And you know you're funny. That's, that's got to hurt more after you've like proven yourself. Like after
so
you
many
know
times.
That you're good.
Yeah.
It's got to hurt even... In my head, that would normally hurt less because you're like, I've been doing it so many times. But no, I get why you go home crying still. It's like, you know you're funny.
But it's also humbling.
Yeah.
It really, like, I'll have a week where I'm like, I'm the funniest person ever. And then I'll bomb and go, I'm dog shit and we gotta start again. Like, it is a nice humbling thing that happens.
Yeah.
And I really, I really take it in and I really observe what I did.
That's probably good. I think more actors...
should do that.
Yeah, more actors. We don't have the same form of bombing because you can make a shit movie and people will still tell you you're amazing.
Oh, like Nicolas Cage Vampire Kiss? Has anyone seen that movie?
It's
what is that?
But that does this thing where it's so bad it circles around to being good.
Oh no, it should be billed as a comedy.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
It's the funniest movie I've ever seen in my entire life, but it is like, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I just watched it like 2 days ago and I'm like, I cannot believe this.
No, his performance in that is
100 accents.
Actually insane.
It's crazy.
But that's so bad, it's good.
Yes.
That's
okay.
Like the room.
Yeah.
You know, the room.
Yes, it is like The Room. That's what I was comparing it to. Yes.
There's a weird spectrum of bad where it's like bad. And eventually the bad circles around to being good again
because
it's so horrible that it's art.
Yeah. That's literally what it feels like. But I was like, how did this get anywhere?
No, more actors need to feel that humbling, like your dog shit.
Yeah.
I think it would help.
I think everyone should be humbled at least once a month.
Yeah.
A nice once a month humbling.
Yeah. I mean, that's why some dudes get into like, you know, being degraded and stuff. I think they, you know what I mean?
Oh, is there like, I do. Are you into this? No, very specific.
Really,
okay.
Really
I was
not,
like,
I was having a conversation earlier about, I'm not, but I just thought of that. I'm maybe that's why these like powerful men are like, call me a piggy boy.
Call
me a piece of shit. I don't know.
Call me Nicolas Cage and Vampire Kisses.
Yeah. Call me a bad actor. Yeah. That would be mine. Yeah, tell me I'm shit. No. All right. Give me your top two for getting into stand up.
Top two. Dedicating your life to it.
You mean you mean we can't just like do it on the side and get good?
No, I mean, look, there are people that do it as a hobby. Sure, if that's what you want to do, that's on you. But if you actually want to be a stand-up comedian, you need to literally drop everything. Mm. Like I, as a Canadian performer, you pretty much have to move to the States. So 8 years ago, I picked up and I left all my family, all my friends. I moved out here across the fucking country. I lived on my friend's couch for 3 months. It was a fucking nightmare. I had no job. I was taking all my stupid side jobs. It's just like I had to leave everything I had and like restart again.
Yeah.
And just everything. Like my social life, I don't have one. I literally, I have not gone on a vacation in 10 years. And I know that sounds fucking sad as hell. I went on a cruise with my boyfriend literally 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago, but he was working on it. So technically it wasn't really a vacation. And also I would not choose a cruise ship to go on a vacation. I am so busy. I'm on the road all the time. If I'm not on the road, I'm home. I'm writing. I'm doing stuff here. I'm like working on pilots and stuff. I'm like, it's nonstop fucking work, especially now with the day and age we're in. Editing clips, podcasting.
For sure.
Fucking posting nonstop, running all your social media accounts. It's like crazy.
Yeah.
Filming your own sets. I'm like, I'm a director and a producer and an editor now and a stand-up. I'm like, I don't want to do these things.
And a social media
guru. I don't know what the hell's happening. TikTok can suck my ass. I'm shadow banned right now. it's like you really have to drop everything and just, it's full. Like I literally, I barely talked to my friends. I had one of my best friends call me there to be like, are we fighting? I'm like, no, I just don't even have time to talk to you.
Yeah.
Like I have no time for anything, but it's comedy and it's crazy because I feel nuts. I feel crazy. That's an impression of Nick Cage from Vampire Kiss. When he gets bit, he's like, it's very, very specific.
Very specific reference for anyone who hasn't
seen
it.
No one knows what I'm talking about. Watch the movie, it's crazy. But you have to really like, it was really hard to also leave, you know, Canada and move out here. It's very difficult to move to the States. There's no cross-border credit check, so I couldn't get an apartment. I couldn't open a bank account.
Damn.
I couldn't get a lot of fuck. I had no money. I had nothing.
And you had built up, I'm sure, your kind of network and success in Canada as much as you could.
Yep. And then
so that's
got
to be hard to abandon. Yeah, because it doesn't.
No,
like,
fuck.
Once you go to a new city, it doesn't matter. And a new country, it doesn't matter.
No one gives a shit. And that's, so it really was, I mean, and I love it. I'm not saying I don't fucking love it. I'm obsessed with stand-up. I don't think I could actually do anything else. This is like what I think I was meant to do. But it really has taken a big toll on my social life and my family life.
Damn.
Like, I missed the birth of my sister's baby, which was really fucked up. Like, So that was, yeah, it was a lot. So there's a lot of big things you miss in your life when you're, you know, in DC performing to people who don't want to be there when your sister's giving birth. Yeah.
When you're bombing in DC.
When I'm bombing in DC and knowing my sister wanted me there in the room with her while I'm like on the stage about to fucking cry, knowing that I'm missing this huge moment of her life. But yeah, so there's a lot of stuff like that. Like I've missed funerals. I've missed, you know, my grandfather passed away like 10 years ago and I had a big festival weekend. I couldn't get out of it. It was like, Yeah, so it's a lot. So that kind of shit's crazy, but you know, I guess it's worth it. R.I.P. Grandpa. No, I'm kidding.
Oh my God.
That sounds horrible.
I want to say I get it and I love that tip and it makes sense, but like take a fucking vacation, dude.
No, I know. I know.
You can book out 2 weeks.
No, I know I can.
You could go to Santa Barbara. You know what
I
mean?
No. I know I have to. I'm too hard on myself. And because like since the Netflix thing, I've been like on an upward kind of spiral here. Yeah. So I didn't want to like,
no, you're,
and I'm a crazy person where I'm like, I can't stop. People forget about me. But I'm like, no, I can't stop. I must stop.
You could take 2 weeks, but also that is a thing in any of these fucking creative industries. Like when you have the momentum, like catch it and use it. And no, that Netflix thing was fucking, I imagine, pretty big. It looked big from the outside. I'm like, Bill Burr's fucking, Bill Burr laying up people? Like, hell yeah.
Yeah.
So I get it, catch it. But you can take a fucking 2 weeks.
I can take a couple, yeah. Come on. I need to, I must.
You can get a massage in Hawaii, right?
I'm trying to go somewhere this year. That's the goal.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. But dedicate your fucking life. Makes sense.
Yes, you must.
That's why all these fuckers I hear around LA who are like, yeah, I want to get into stand up. I'm like, do you?
Yeah, do you?
Because you got.
Yeah, you got no nights off.
Yeah.
FYI, the nights are no longer off.
And like, you got to start now because the success isn't going to come for fucking 10 years. So, literally. Like, are you doing it?
Yeah. Last night was my first night off in a long time and I spent the whole night cleaning closets.
Oh my, how fun.
My new boyfriend's moving in and turns out I'm a hoarder. A lot of wigs I had to throw out. A lot of wigs, a lot of mustaches. I got a lot of stuff. I got too much shit going on. So I was like, I got to clean out a closet for him. So it was a five hour.
You have a wig and mustache closet?
I have a wig and mustache dresser. Okay. And I cleaned that out. But the closet was filled with like a bunch of mermaid costumes and like weird ill-fitted suits for these characters that I thought were funny years ago and they're not. It's a lot of shit.
All right.
Yeah.
Cool.
A lot of trash. Anyways, that was my night off, was cleaning a closet. So, you know, fun stuff over here.
Man, you're so fun on stage.
And fun off stage.
You just sound like a...
I'm a real hoot off stage.
Listeners, are you like me and you need to be more organized in your life? Yeah, I get it. I often struggle with being organized, and that's because I'm trying to do it all in my head. This is a silly thing when there are powerful tools out there in the world that can help us. I am so grateful to today's sponsor, Notion, because they have changed the way I organize my life and organize my projects with my teams. You know I'm busy. I'm running 2 podcasts. I'm in and out of the music studio. I got auditions. There's a lot to keep together. And Notion is an all-in-one place where I can keep my schedule, projects, notes, and interactions with my teams organized. Notion combines your notes, docs, and projects into one space that's simple and beautifully designed. And now the fully integrated Notion AI helps you work faster, think bigger, and write better, helping you to accomplish tasks that would normally take hours in just a matter of seconds. We use the AI feature all the time to brainstorm questions for guests, come up with episode titles, and just do a lot more without having to switch back and forth between screens. It's fully integrated into the app. And one of my favorite things about Notion is the look and feel compared to other organization apps. It just has a great design and a user interface that's really simple to use. Try Notion for free when you go to notion.com/growingup. That's all lowercase letters, notion.com/growingup to try the powerful Notion AI for free today. And remember, when you sign up, you're supporting our show. That's notion.com/growingup. I love that your initial interest was wanting to be an actress. Mm-hmm. Now with the stand-up success, is that circling back around? Are you able to do some more of that?
Yes, finally. I don't know if you saw me. I'm in Bill Burr's new movie, Old Dads.
I haven't watched it yet, but I saw you post a little clip.
Yeah, I posted the clippy clip, and that was my clip. It's insane. I'm about to be in the season 3 of Hacks.
Fuck yeah.
I got written in as myself, which is Very fucking cool.
Whoa.
I know. I got to play me in an episode. I don't want to say what it is. I'm going to give it away. But
that's fucking cool.
Really fucking cool.
Hell
and it was probably the coolest day on set of my fucking life.
Hell yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah, yeah. It was with Patton Oswalt, Andy Kindler, Naomi McPerrigan.
Dude.
Yeah, it was fucking cool as hell. Caitlin Olsen from It's Always Sunny, who's also in Hacks. Yeah, she was so fucking nice.
My God, she's so
yeah,
fun.
It was nice. So that was cool. Yeah, I'm doing little bit parts, which I've been lucky enough that people write me in.
Yep.
So if you're listening and you're a writer and you would need a mechanic, I can play that really easily.
Yeah,
your mechanic.
Your chosen outfit is really just pigeonholing your characters that you could play.
I know what I've pigeonholed myself as, and I'm fine with that.
Okay.
Scary lesbian, not scary lesbian, mechanic. Mechanic's daughter. Like, there's a lot. I know what I am. Crazy best friend. Like, I'm aware of what I can play.
Okay.
I think I'm leaning into it. And it's.
Do you just have. Is your whole closet just these jumpers?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
It's actually absurd how many I have now. It's crazy. I've gone nuts.
Yeah, I've noticed. It is the chosen outfit.
And I'll tell you what, I have IBS. I've made a huge mistake.
Oh, this is a terrible outfit for IBS.
Yeah, it's a bad outfit for IBS.
You got to get custom ones with a little flap.
Yeah, I would love a flap.
Yeah.
If anyone's out there who's good with Velcro, I'd love a Velcro ass flap.
That's a bold choice. I was going to say, like, I don't know, maybe a zipper or like a button.
No, I don't have time. Buttons? I don't have time for buttons.
Velcro?
Velcro, just
that's
rip it
wild.
Down. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yep, and take a big fat shit. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It'd be nice.
Okay.
Are you ready for tip number one?
I'm ready for your most important tip on becoming a stand-up.
Most important tip. Now this, I think you would assume would be the most important.
Okay.
But I think people are stupid.
Okay.
You gotta be funny. You gotta be funny. Here's what I always say to people who start doing stand-up or want to get into stand-up. Has anyone ever one time said you're funny? The amount of people I know who are trying to do comedy, who I look at and I go, no one's ever once said you're funny. No one's ever said, in school you're funny. No, your family's found you funny. You're not funny. You're bombing. You've been bombing for 15 years. I don't know how you're still doing comedy. You're not funny. This is, I would say, I got into stand-up specifically. The amount of people that told me I should do stand-up was insane.
Yeah.
All of my high school teachers. I was dog shit in high school. Everyone was like, you are stupid. You don't even know how to spell your and your. You're in more. I still don't. But they're like, you are funny. You should do stand-up. All of my teachers.
You spelled it right there?
Oh, I didn't spell it, actually.
Oh, that's right. Oh, I forgot.
It would have been like this if I did it. That's how I would spell it. Yeah, you're funny.
Okay.
I'm a moron, but I yes. People, I was told so many times. All of my friends in high school, all of my teachers, all of my college teachers, everyone said I should do stand-up.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah. You have to actually be
funny. You have to actually be funny. You have to have like some semblance of like a natural gift at this. Like that's why, you know, when you see good crowd work with comedians, it's because they're funny people.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying like, I would say in general, most people are funny. But to be a comedian, it's a different level of funny where you have to like, I don't know. It has to come so natural that you have to want to perform at the same time and you have to like be comfortable up there. It's all these factors that come into one, but it seems silly, but you simply have to be a funny person. It's just much easier if you are. It's also like, to be honest, much easier. Now I can go on stage and just fuck around and not plan anything and just do crowd work and kill. I'm like, because I'm funny and it's easy for me to do that.
Right.
Instead of me like writing out jokes for hours and hours and rehearsing and being like, is this every single word? I'm like, I can't work like that. I kind of write on stage anyway. So I'm like, I'll have an idea and I'll kind of like talk it out up there. Because I just think of things that people find funny.
Right.
And that's, and again.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Nothing you have to be told, but like, it definitely helped.
Yeah. Has anyone ever laughed at a story you've told ever?
Yeah. Like you just
have you ever made someone belly laugh?
But yes. Or like, I feel like, if a bunch of people are like, you're so funny, you should do something with this, then, you know.
It's a good sign.
It's a good sign.
Good starting place.
Very good starting place. Yes.
Yeah. I will out myself on the bad idea I presented you for this podcast. So look, I was booking a bunch of guests and we have this new form for season two where I'm having my guests teach me something on a topic that they, you know, have some fucking credibility in. And my dumb ass was like, hey Steph, big fan of your comedy. Can you bring in 5 tips on being funny? And Steph emailed me back, Devin, you're a fucking idiot. That's not how this works.
Yeah.
And I kind of knew it at the time. I'm just glad you corrected it so we could do stand-up.
Yes, yes,
stand-up,
yes, yes.
We can talk about. Yes. Being funny, it's not something you can really teach.
You really can't teach
And
that.
you can't describe, not really, why something is funny. That's not how it works.
And it's also, this is, again, why I get so mad at trolls. Like, you're not funny. Yeah, you probably don't find me funny. Comedy is so fucking subjective.
Yeah.
You are not going to find everybody funny. If you do, that's fucking crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
I like the amount of people I find funny, very small amount.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's be honest. Right. So it's like, yeah, I don't find myself funny. Yeah. So guess what? Join the club. Maybe that's me trolling myself. You fucking dumb bitch. Get another job. Just me and a mustache.
That's what the mustache.
That's what the mustache collection is for. Yeah, and the wigs. But I'm like, comedy is so subjective, so it's hard to teach like how to be funny.
Yeah.
It's a very inherent thing that you're just a funny person. You can be silly, goofy, yeah. Make fun of yourself. Like, there's a lot of factors that come into it.
Ways,
yeah, different ways. But it's also like, yeah, comedy's the one thing where it's like, you're obviously not going to find everybody funny.
Yeah.
It's a very specific taste.
Yeah.
So that's why it's so crazy when you're trolling somebody. This is funny. Yeah, you don't find it funny.
It's
okay. That's fine.
It's also absurd. I'll get trolls on, like, I have another podcast. I'll get trolls on that podcast. Like, this podcast sucks. Meanwhile, there's like 400 comments, like, loving the podcast.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I'm just like, you're a fucking idiot. Like, yeah. If you don't like it, fine.
That's fine.
And like, your clips are people laughing hysterically, like, what a dumbass comment. Yeah. That's not funny.
Okay.
Because I say so.
Yeah, then just scroll on.
Shut the fuck up.
Or I've had people be like, I've watched this clip 10 times. Where's the funny? Stop watching it. Also, a joke isn't funny 10 times in a row.
Yeah,
maybe watch it once. Yeah. That's on you for watching it 10 times.
Damn.
Yeah. So those are, again, my opinion on how this is kind of I became a comedian.
This is great.
Yeah, so.
I think you are going, for any of my audience out there that wants to be stand-up, I think you are going to inspire a select few who actually have it in them to do it.
Okay.
And I think you're going to crush some of their dreams in a good way.
I'm sorry.
No, yes. No, in a good way.
Okay.
Like, quit holding on to a dream that you're not going to commit your fucking life
yes.
to. Like, stop saying you're going to do stand-up if you're not going to do stand-up. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. And once you start doing it, some of you might realize you don't want to do it.
Right. Or you realize you fucking love it.
Yes,
like, or
exactly.
You realize, oh, I bombed, but I kind of feel obsessed.
And you have to love it. That's the thing, too. You have to fucking, like, I love it. Like, I'm here complaining about shit, but I'm like, I love my job. I get to make people laugh for a fucking living. And I get to travel and I get to, like, hang out with funny people. And, like, it's fucking cool. I've met a lot of really cool fans over the years. I'm like good friends with some of them now. Like, it's bizarre.
Yeah.
It's like a really, I love this fucking job. And I'm so, I met my boyfriend at a fucking comedy club. Yes, he saw me do this stupid fart joke. And then he was like, I like that. And then, and I was like online dating hell for fucking 10 years. So this is like, you know, good things have happened out of this.
And you met him in the wild.
I met him in the wild.
After all your online,
all my
dating
online hell.
Nightmares.
Hell. Yeah, hell on earth.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. I'm so happy.
I'm a huge fan. I'm going to be rooting for you always.
Well, thank you. Come do my podcast.
I would love to.
Do you have a body issue?
Yeah, we all have body.
Okay.
Is your podcast body
issues? Yeah, it's called Steph Infection. It's all about like body ailments and issues and like breaks and rashes and like anything strange to the body.
Oh, great. Let's get into some
weird
body shit.
Okay, there we go.
I'm not
going
to say it on here.
No, save it
for the Steph Infection.
Yes, yes,
yikes,
yes.
What a name you chose. Makes me itch a little bit.
It should.
Okay, yeah. Good. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for
teaching me a little bit about stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pulling for your special.
So am I. Thank you.
Where do people find you? We'll put it all in the notes.
Yeah, follow me on Instagram. Yeah, at Steph Tolev on Instagram. Instagram is where to follow.
Yeah.
And guess what? That also helps people want to give you a special when you have more followers.
So follow
me on Instagram. That really, you've no idea how much it helps.
Yeah. And honestly, if you haven't yet, check out Steph's comedy because it's so fucking funny. And watch the Bill, what's it called? The Bill
Burr Presents Friends Who Kill.
Yes. Bill Burr Presents Friends Who Kill.
And Bill Burr's movie Old Dads.
Yes. Watch all these things.
That, yes.
Your set on that was fucking insane.
Thank you.
Did you retire the leather outfit though?
Yeah. I also had like a Steph Infection. I had a bunch of sun blisters, so the dress was actually stuck to my open sores, so there's just skin flakes on the back of it.
Oh,
so I actually can't wear it again.
Oh my God.
This is why I have this podcast, yes.
Wow, I get it now.
And you'll do it.
It's so all making sense.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks for being here. Thanks for teaching me. We'll see you guys next in 2 weeks. Sweet.
Bye.
Bye.